Welcome to the Lambs to Lions podcast. Thank you for joining us. Whether you are exploring your faith in God or looking to grow deeper in your walk with Christ, you're going to be encouraged, challenged, and transformed by this teaching from God's Word.
It's good to be together. So I get the privilege of speaking to you today. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 4 today. So I want to get right into the Word, okay? So I'm going to talk to you about armor up like Jesus. Yeah. Armor up like Jesus. That's the title of my message. It's on the top of your page there. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the test, but I'm going to talk to you more about being victorious, because that's really our bullseye, right?
Yeah.
Zig Ziglar, famous motivational speaker, said, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. So we're going to aim at victory. Amen? Yeah. Sound good? All right. Good. Well, just over 2 months ago, my friend Randy, who was not able to be here this morning, a godly man, but he's involved in another church, he says, James, I'm running a half marathon September 20th in Anacortes, Washington. If I pay for your running, your fee, will you run with me? I'm like, okay, I haven't run a half marathon in 5 years. That was 13 pounds ago. Sure. So I entered the race yesterday. Yeah, and so I went in there with faith. I had some amount of training, but I want to tell you right now, all the words of faith out of my mouth do not replace some good training. So I enter the race, and here's the thing, and I want you to hear this too. I had a plan of how I was going to succeed. Now, if you don't know what a half marathon is, it's for guys who cannot pay attention for a full marathon. Like, man, just keeping my mind focused for half a marathon's enough. Anyways, 21.1 kilometers, 13.1 miles. And I literally, in 5 years, since 2020, when I ran my last half, and that wasn't pretty, trust me, I looked like an old man on the side of the road that ambulance would pull up beside. But anyways, I ran a half marathon in 2020 with my brother. He was in Edmonton. We said, go, on FaceTime, and we ran because everything was shut down. So I hadn't trained or anything. I'd been doing some weightlifting, some cardio, but not a whole lot. So 2 months of training went into this big day yesterday. And I had a plan. I followed that plan. And I'll tell you one of the things, and I hope you'll hear this. I ran my race.
Yeah.
Everybody around me, for the most part, was younger than me. A lot younger than me. And so they were passing me, especially at the beginning. Mm-hmm. But as I ran, and I divided my race into 8, 8, and 5. And the first 8 kilometers, I pumped myself up with faith, and I ran at a pretty relaxed pace. People were passing me, and I just said, don't worry about them. Don't worry about them. They're running their race. Don't worry about it. Yeah. And in the second 8, I found my form. And I noticed people holding their hip, holding their knee, stopping at the side of the road. I can tell you guys, if I ever had a pain, I said, nope. That's not my pain.
Come on.
That doesn't belong to me. Yeah. In Jesus' name, I have healthy knees.
Yeah.
I have healthy hips. I have a healthy heart. And I ran pain-free.
Woo!
Wow.
And then there was this point where there was this, and this is impressive, honestly. There was this chunky girl I could not catch up with. I'm like, how is she running so fast? Then she would stop and walk, and I still couldn't catch up with her. It was at the halfway mark I went by the chunky girl. Yeah, bragging rights. Anyways, hey, listen, she was probably 20-something, right? But I was impressed with her. I was like, she's got something in her. From the outside, she doesn't look good. Now, on the other hand, there was this really pretty young girl who ran by me. She had a bow in her hair, a braided ponytail, and she looked really good, and she ran too fast for me to get her number, and she was happy. She she was half my age anyway. So, but here's listen to the lesson though. This pretty girl ran by everybody. She was going.
Yeah.
At about the 5 kilometer mark, I saw her on the other side of the road. She had quit and had turned back. And she did not look happy. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened. All I know is I said, God bless her. Yeah. I felt for her. Men, we don't want to be the ones that turn back.
Yeah, well, that's good.
So I continued on. One more thing. There was these two ladies that would run. Then they would go past me. They were probably around 30. They'd run past me. Then they would walk. So I'd have to go around them. This happened maybe 10 times. Finally, 5 kilometers left, I was like, I'm done with this. Yeah. I went by them, and I just put on whatever jets I had, and I went past them. Well, I can tell you, to finish that race, honestly, I had a time in mind and all that, and I can honestly say it was so difficult to finish the last 5 kilometers. But I finished.
Yay!
So, something backwards be a bad sign. Listen, you guys, it took everything I had just to finish. All my words of faith could not make me as fast as a 30-year-old. It just wasn't going to happen. Now, training will.
Yeah.
You know, that was a test for me. I passed the test. Praise God, I passed the test. And I finished, and I celebrated. And I have no discouragement or down feelings. I did it, okay? Now, we're going to talk about Jesus. So the Christian life is full of powerful moments with God, and then tests where we get to take our experience with God into the battle to be faithful and victorious. Now, sometimes we are victorious and sometimes we fail. Maybe that was your week, some ups and downs. But God's grace is amazing. And our response is to praise him, not to look down on ourselves. Get your eyes off yourself. I'm a failure. I'm a loser. No, don't even use that language. Thank you, God, that you love somebody like me. Thank you, God, that you have grace for me. Thank you, God, that you're picking me up. And we put our eyes on Jesus when we fail in those little moments of our life. And we learn what God wants us to learn. How many learned something this week? I did. Yeah, I learned a lot running that race. Okay, so make no mistake about this, because some people have this twisted idea about God. God wants you to be victorious because he wants you to be conformed to the likeness of his son. Now, as we just read in Luke chapter 4, Jesus was victorious. He was tempted in every way as we are, but was without sin. Jesus was victorious. I said that already, but it's worth saying again. Okay. He was tempted in every way as we are, but without sin. Our Heavenly Father wants us to learn from this test that Jesus went through so we can be ready for the good things that God has planned for us to do.
Yeah.
All right. That's in Ephesians 2:10. Okay. So Jesus is led by, here's your first fill in, the Holy Spirit. Interesting, huh? You think, how did I get here? Why is this happening to me? Well, Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the desert where he was tempted for 40 days. And yes, he was hungry at the end of them because why? He was fully human. This, just like you are fully human, okay? This was a test for Jesus, but he was ready for it. In Luke 3, chapter before there, Jesus has a powerful moment with the Holy Spirit and his Heavenly Father when he gets baptized. That's a fill-in for you, okay? So the Spirit descends on him like a dove, and his Father says this, "This is my Son who I love and whom I am well pleased." Well, can't have a much better moment than that. Now, many of you have had powerful moments with God here at College Street. When you've been baptized and experienced the presence of God, and I bet all of you can relate that you've had tests after that.
Yeah.
Right? Pastor Matt and I have talked many times of the tests that people go through after they get elevated, you know? So you and Jesus got this in common, all right? So how did Jesus pass the test? He was armored up. What's our series? Armor Up. Okay. And today we are going to learn from the master. All right. Oh. Isn't that good? So point one, we got 6 points. And why do we have 6 points today? Because there are 6 parts to the armor of God. I'm going to make these pretty quick because I don't want to go over time. Okay. Jesus never lost sight of his identity. The enemy tried to plant doubt into the mind of Jesus by saying, if you are the Son of God, if you are, that's your fill-in. That phrase will come to you.
Yeah.
What? If you are baptized, you should be holy. Yeah. If you are a person who's been in ministry for years, you should never sin again. If you are, you get the idea, right? If you are married, you should never look at another woman. It should not, yeah, you shouldn't even notice other women in the world. That's the enemy will tell you that. But we have a way of dealing with those things, and we're going to talk about that. Okay, so that phrase, if you are, you'll hear it, you probably heard it. Jesus didn't forget the words of the Father. This is my son. Jesus was showing us how the helmet of salvation works. Now, Jesus didn't need to be saved, so he's not wearing the helmet of salvation in the way we are. However, he was showing this. It guards our mind and keeps us on what, this is important, God says about us and our circumstances. We have a question around here. What does the word say?
Yeah.
What does the word say? You've always got to return to what does the word say?
Right.
About all these things. I could say more about it, but it'll unfold as we go. Okay. So we got to have these kind of phrases in our mind. Yeah. I am a child of God. I have the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
I am saved and I am more than a conqueror. Woo! I have hope and a future. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength.
Come on.
And I want to tell you something funny here, okay? If I go out to my car after the service and I open the door, and there's a chicken on the front seat, I know right away, that's not my chicken.
Yeah.
So when you have thoughts, you're going to remember that. Yeah. So when you have thoughts that come into your mind that do not line up with your baptism, your declaration of faith, the songs of worship that you sing here, the word of God in your heart, when it doesn't line up, you say, that's not my thoughts. That's not my chicken. Okay? That's not my chicken. All right? Point two. Jesus kept his heart right with God. Jesus could have been, now this is a weird thought here, but just flow with me for a second. Jesus could have been offended with his father for not giving him what the devil was offering. Hey, Father, I've been good all my life. I've been living a perfect life. How come I'm not getting blessed with all these things?
Right.
How come that family got the new vehicle? How come that family has the new house? How come that No, Jesus didn't go there. Jesus didn't go there because he kept his heart right with God.
Yeah.
Okay? And besides, it wasn't long till Jesus would say, all authority on heaven and earth is mine, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, which we quote many times here in Matthew 28. This is what the breastplate of righteousness is all about. We need to remember that proverb, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life, Proverbs 4:23. We need to keep our heart right with God and with people by forgiving as we have been forgiven. That's a fill-in, and that's something you need to have in your head. I am going to forgive those people who hurt me because I've been forgiven.
Yeah.
The grace that I've received from God, and hey guys, have you received a lot of grace from God? Okay, so you got a lot of grace to give away, right? Isn't that right? Yeah. Like you're like a bulk store. You're like Costco of grace, right? So exactly. I have grace for you. Yeah. Okay. So sometimes fiery darts get through, but we must pull them out fast, so they don't smolder in our hearts. Listen to this. Okay. Being offended is an epidemic in the church.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, if there's one thing you hear today, if you get offended, and you will, deal with it right away, quickly.
Come on.
Go to the bulk section of your heart and grab the grace that you have
and
forgiveness and start giving that grace away, because you're going to have moments where you need to do it. Sometimes you got to forgive yourself. So you got to have that grace for yourself too. Okay. So point three, Jesus stayed in the truth. The belt of truth is at the center of who Jesus is, because what? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Truth is in the center, and it holds everything together, especially your pants from falling on the floor. All right? And that's a good thing. We want the pants up. All right. So the devil even used scripture to try to get Jesus to do what he wanted him to do. But Jesus knew the truth about context. You've got to remember context. He knew, now this is very important, this is a lesson from Bible school, from a class called hermeneutics. And hermeneutics is the science of studying God's word or dissecting God's word. He knew scripture interprets scripture.
Right? Yes.
So while the devil quoted an actual scripture, he did. And religious people will quote an actual scripture. And they'll come after you with an actual scripture. But they will not have the here's the context. Love.
Yeah.
Redemption.
Yeah. Unity.
Unity and restoration.
Yeah.
You see, here's one of the things that I know Pastor Matt deals with, is somebody will come to him with a scripture and say, this is what the Bible says. But they have no desire in their heart for restoration. Pastor Matt, I'm coming to you today because I want a restored relationship. And maybe I'm in the wrong. Right now, I feel like you're in the wrong, but I came to you because I love you and I want to have a discussion. How many people come to you that way? Some people, right? But some people don't.
And on one hand.
Yeah, yeah. So this is the thing I want to tell you, men. If you have, if you have a moment where you struggle with something Pastor Matt or our pastor say, or something I say, or any of the leadership, if you want redemption and you want restoration and you want love, you need to come to that person and say, look, I'm struggling with what you said here. Can we talk about it? I give credit to my friend Corey here. He said, James, there was something that was said from the front. I just am not sure about it. Can we have dinner or coffee, whatever we had, lunch or whatever. Can we talk about it? I said, yeah, let's talk about it. We talk about it. He goes, oh, man, okay, now I understand. Now I feel peace. That was a great moment. Corey's my friend. I'd go up with him anytime. But that was a great moment, right? Okay, I need to finish this up. I'll just read it. Jesus was, I'm missing something here. Yes, he knew scripture, interpreted scripture. He also knew that he had his heart set on honoring his father by not testing him. He wasn't going to test his father. The devil knows nothing. The devil knows nothing about honor and doesn't want you to know this. The power of honor leads to blessing and promotion. God wants you to be blessed and promoted, but the devil wants you to stay in your pride. And pride puffs us up, so we think we're promoted, but we're not promoted. Not by God, anyways. Okay, point number four. Jesus stayed in faith. In other words, Jesus kept the shield up to extinguish the fiery darts of the enemy. Now, how did he do this? Well, think about it. Jesus was fasting food. The devil comes and says, hey, he doesn't say you're hungry, but it's an understood thing that Jesus is hungry. Mm-hmm. Hey, why don't you turn these rocks into bread?
First temptation.
Yep.
Just like in the garden.
Yep. Yep. That's it.
Yeah.
First one. Hey, you know what? God hasn't given you food out here. You're out here in the desert with nothing. You got nothing. So why don't you take control of the situation? Your pastor, he's not doing what you thought he'd do. Your parents aren't doing what you thought they'd do. Your wife isn't doing what you thought she'd do. Why don't you take control of the situation?
Wow.
Just a side note, that's what porn is. Feel it, guys. That's what porn is. God hasn't blessed me. God isn't satisfying me. God hasn't supplied what I need. I'm taking matters into my own hands.
Wow.
I'll just let that sit. All right. Jesus lifted up faith when he made a choice to depend. Pastor Matt talks a lot about choices here. He made a choice to depend on the satisfaction of God's living word and God's will. When we are in a moment of weakness, and we all have them, why? Because we're human and we have flesh. We have to draw from the power of God's word and the promises of his will. The enemy always wants the fiery darts to lodge in your heart, but that's why we hold up the shield of faith, okay? And we got to stay in faith. Point five, Jesus was skilled in scripture. Jesus was skilled with the sword of the spirit. Jesus knew how to speak the word because he had studied the word and because he is the word. When we speak the word of God, we aren't just extending a weapon. We're sharing Jesus. So we, yes, the word can be a weapon against the enemy, but don't use the word as a weapon against brothers. All right.
Need to say that again.
Okay. When You have the word in your mouth. It is a weapon against the enemy, not against your brothers.
Wow. So good.
Thanks, James.
Okay. We can't speak the word if we don't know the word. And we won't know the word if we don't read the word. And if we won't read the word, it's because we're not making time for the word.
Right.
And if we're not making time for the word, it's because we think Sunday's lessons are enough. Because you know you're going to hear the word here. Okay. Point six. Jesus wore the shoes of peace, entering the battle and leaving the battle. Let me say that again. Point six. Jesus wore the shoes of peace, entering the battle and leaving the battle. Okay. You're all going to have battles, and you can go in with peace, and something can catch you off guard. It happens. Okay. But you leave with peace. Wow. So that means you deal with it properly. Here we go. One of the most powerful things about Luke 4 is that Jesus went into the desert full of the Holy Spirit, and he left the desert full of the Holy Spirit. You leave the baptismal tank filled with the Spirit, filled with vision, filled with devotion. I'm going to live for you, Jesus. I'm never going to sin again. But then what happens? We enter into the desert of our life, and all of a sudden, where's that fullness of the Holy Spirit? It's like, oh, hold on, where? Who am I? What happened to me? No, that's not what God wants for us. So Jesus wasn't anxious going into battle, and he wasn't rattled leaving the battle, because peace and power go together.
Good.
They're friends.
Yeah.
We, as men, we often look at power. Peace. I don't want peace. That's for weak people. No, that's for powerful people.
Yeah,
that's called meekness. Okay, Jesus had won the ultimate battle with sin and death. And that means that when we put our faith in Christ, we share Christ's victory and we fight from a place of victory. However, there will be tests within situations and relationships. Maybe you had those this week, where we battle with thoughts, words, actions, and emotions. Okay, I'm going to say that again, where we battle with thoughts, words, actions, and emotions. We put on the helmet of salvation to guard our thoughts, the breastplate of righteousness to guard our hearts and our words, the shoes of peace to walk in the actions that keep us in peace. How many know that when you walk in sin, it doesn't lead to peace? And we put on the belt of truth so we won't be deceived by the enemy's lies. When we feel emotions that want to lead us, we decide to lift up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, quenching fiery darts and slicing through the darkness with God's powerful word.
Come on.
Takeaway. You will go into battle full of the Spirit, and you will leave full of the Holy Spirit when you armor up like Jesus.
All right. Nice.
I just want to ask you, if that spoke to you today, would you raise your hand?
Show me.
Good. Well, listen, the armor of God is not something that I say, here's your armor. Now you go off by yourself and go fight your battle.
Yeah.
No, you see, the armor of God is like, it's like a, I was going to use a hose, but it's like a cable that you're attached to the power of God.
Mm.
So you don't unplug that cable and go, oh, God, you know, here's what's going to happen, is you might be charged up for a bit, but all of a sudden the battery dies. Yeah. It's like, oh, man, I need to plug in again. No, we stay plugged in.
Yeah.
We stay plugged in because the armor of God, I should stay in front of the camera, the armor of God is all about relationship. So I want to talk to you about relationship for a moment, okay? Men, I want to give you an opportunity, while everybody's looking at me, to have a relationship with God. And if you have broken that relationship through any activities in your life, there's no condemnation in this room. Okay? There's no condemnation. But this is a moment to return and say, wow, I haven't been doing a lot of this stuff. I've been kind of the guy with the armor on, so tough. But I've unplugged.
That's good.
Wow. Okay? Very important. So can we just close our eyes? We're just going to say a prayer of salvation. I want everybody, you know, most likely everybody in this room has given their life to Jesus as I look around the room. So, but we're going to say this anyways, okay? Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I come to you today,
knowing
that I need you,
knowing that I need you,
and there's nothing I can do in my own strength,
to save myself.
But you've made a way.
You sent Jesus.
And today,
I confess Jesus
is Lord. I believe in my heart that He died for my sins. And that on the third day, He was raised to life.
And now with Him,
I am raised to life. Thank you, God, for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Just hey, while our heads are bowed, if anybody prayed that prayer for the first time, would you raise your hand if that was the first time you gave your life to Jesus today? Okay, awesome. I thought most of you were brothers, if not all of you. I was pretty sure. But let's pray this prayer. Father. I don't want to just hear this. I want to live this. I want to put on the full armor of God. Just like Jesus.
Holy Spirit.
Teach me to stay plugged in. I can't do this in my own power. It's not by might.
It's not by power.
It's by the Spirit of the Lord. That I'm going to be victorious.
You know the areas of my life
that lack victory.
Strengthen me in those areas.
And teach me to come up with a plan
so I can finish the race
and wear a medal
that brings glory to Jesus.
In your name I pray. Amen.